Hi, ladies and gentlemen. It's already 11 o'clock, so we're starting our conference. My name is Agnieszka Dowżycka, and I'm in charge of investor relations at Santander Bank Polska. I want to extend a warm welcome to the presentation of our earnings after the third quarter 2025. The presentation will be led by Michał Gajewski, Chief Executive Officer, Maciej Reluga, Chief Financial Officer, and Wojciech Skalski, Financial Controller. Before we kick off, I want to remind you that throughout the conference, you can send your questions via the link, or you can send them directly to my email address. The presentation with our earnings is available on our bank's website. Now, Michał, over to you. Thanks, Agnieszka. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the presentation of our earnings. Let me start with an important disclaimer. Just like in the previous quarter, today's conference presents results from continued operations. In the management report and the full financial report, you'll find figures both from continued operations and from discontinued operations, which refer to SCB. However, let me highlight today's presentation focus solely on continued operations. Our gross profit from continued operations amounted to 6,440 million. Our tax and regulatory charges for this period totaled 2.5 billion zlotys. I'd like to add here that in the ranking by the Ministry of Finance for 2024, our bank placed in the top three among the largest CIT payers in the entire economy, not only the banking sector. And this is important in the context of the ongoing discussion about additional levies on the banking sector. Let me also add that all top three taxpayers were banks. Net profit for the group reached 4,892 million zlotys, of which 1,830 million zlotys were generated in the third quarter alone. Let's move on to slide 7. We serve nearly 6.1 million clients. We see higher numbers of digital customers, app users. After the 9 months of 2025, client deposits totaled 221 billion and client funds, including investment funds, reached 249 billion. The gross loan portfolio stood at 165 billion plus, and total assets amounted to 317 billion. On slide 8, we're presenting core financial results. Like I said, for net profit 4,892 million. Net interest income 9,549 million. Net fee and commission 2.2 billion, up 5%. Total income 12 billion, up 6% year on year. For Q3 alone, it was nearly 4 billion zlotys. Our capital position remains solid. Return on equity 21.6%, excellent liquidity, LCR of over 203%. On slide 10 and 12, we'll present the new features we've introduced to our offering. Just yesterday, we became one of the first to offer the Samsung Pay digital wallet. We're continuously committed to providing a wide range of payment solutions, and we remain a leader in the area with 1.3 million active cards in digital wallets. So very impressive. Same applies to the number of transactions. for SMEs. We've enabled multi-currency support on business cards. We've also introduced improvements to the smart loan process. Let's move on to slide 13. Business data for third quarter. In retail banking, 4.8 million personal accounts. We maintain at the moment that's up 2% year on year. In quarter three alone, we opened 113,000 accounts. In cash loans, we issued 9.3 billion PLN in cash loans. In Q3 alone, this amounted to 3.3 billion lost, 9% more year on year. And this marks a record-breaking quarter for cash loans, which we're very pleased about. For mortgages, this has been the best period for five quarters. In Q3, sales was 3.1 billion. So similarly to previous quarters, most bulk of sales was based on fixed interest rate, and the share of those loans in the total PLN portfolio is 48.6%. In the SME segment, over the first 9 months of the year, we issued 3.9 billion zlotys in loans, with 1.3 billion in Q3 alone. We're advancing digital processes, and the volume of SME loans issued entirely online has increased too. Leasing continuously good results, 3.5 billion zlotys, a 17% increase year on year. In Q3, this amounted to 1.2 billion zlotys. Our e-loan, ePożyczka product is selling increasingly well, and it is now available to startups too. In business and corporate banking, loan volumes increased by 8% year on year, FX income by 11%. Client activity in remote channels is growing, the same as mobile customers. Now, corporate and investment banking, revenues from capital markets rose by 56%, treasury transactions up 15% year on year. Now, moving on, slide 15, the activity I mentioned previously, this of course is driving the size of our balance sheet. As at the end of September, the gross loan book was 165 billion plus. On slide 25 in the appendix, we show the sustained strong level of new loan sales across segments. As you can see, we see significant growth. And again, we're very pleased about, especially in corporate banking, 8% year on year and quarter to quarter up 2%. Slide 16, client funds. 249.5 billion. Deposits 221 billion. Slight decline in deposits from individual clients. But term deposits on the other hand. So, an increase in balance. The drop in current accounts was triggered by the drops in savings accounts. Corporate deposits at 2% increase, term deposits up nearly 8%, deposits from the public sector increased by as much as 5% this quarter, and term deposits and current account balance also increased. Investment funds reached 23% increase year on year and 8% quarter on quarter. Now, profit and loss account. Net interest income and NIM, that's slide number 17. The net interest income was 9.5 billion zlot, which is 5% better year on year. In quarter three alone, the growth was by 0.5%. Year on year, interest income increased by 6%, while let me highlight that net interest income in quarter three is the highest this year. And it's nearly as high as the record high quarter in 2024. And that's despite the interest rate cuts, our NIM was 4.88% on continued operations. So the decline was really marginal. And let me highlight, that was despite the interest rate cuts. Slide number 18, that's net fees and commissions. On a year-to-date basis, they total 2.2 billion plus, which is 5% up on the last year. In quarter three alone, net fees and commissions were 3% higher than a year ago. We saw really nice growth in asset management fees, by 18%, insurance fees, FX fees, and brokerage fees. Quarter on quarter, FX fees increased, insurance fees increased, and the asset management fees. Just like in previous quarter, let me highlight that this is the follow-up of the bigger number of transactions done by our clients. We have not changed our prices at all. Slide number 19 outlines income. Total income, 12 billion, as I've already said, growing by 6% year on year. Let me highlight that in the first three quarters, the gains on financial operations were much better than a year ago. In quarter two, let me remind you, thanks to conducive market landscape, we earned outstanding results under the trading and valuation. Of course, this was driven primarily by FX transactions and trading. In quarter three, the gains and losses on financial operations position actually normalized. Slide 20, very important for us, operating costs. After three quarters, this is 3.6 billion zlot, growing by 8% year on year. As you might remember from previous presentations, this is driven by higher contributions to the banking guarantee fund. Excluding regulatory costs, total costs increased 5% compared to the previous year. Of course, driven by inflation, pay increases, and cost of services. Compared to the previous quarter, the costs in total increased by 2%. Administrative costs without the regulatory costs grew by 4% year on year, but compared to the previous quarter, they declined by 7%. Staff costs, they increased by 5% year-on-year and 7% compared to the previous quarter. But this is clearly impacted by accruals for performance-driven bonuses and the focus we have for our performance this year. So the pace of growth in cost year on year for three quarters remained low at 3%. So as you can see, the pace of growth in cost is close to the growth in inflation, and we keep it under strict control. Loan loss provisions. The net balance of the loan loss provisions for expected credit losses was 439.5 million, much lower than the last year. But this was driven, first of all, the high comparative base. Last year, you might remember, we expanded the criteria for classifying exposures to stage two, and the impact of that was 125 million loss nearly. But the other reason for that is the sound and stable quality of our loan books. The cost of credit risk, 33 basis points, is one of the lowest historical results in
the bank. Other key risk indicators, like the share of NPLs at 4%, remain at a good level. We also can see the stable levels of past due payments and new entries to the NPLs. In quarter three, we did not record any one-off major events. And as you can see on the next slide, we sold non-performing debts worth nearly 400 million zlotys, while the gain on that was 98 million zlotys. Slide number 22, banking tax and regulatory costs. As I said, in quarter three, the regulatory and tax levies totaled as much as 730 million zlotys. After three quarters, our PBT was 6.4 billion, while the tax and regulatory levies totaled 2.5 billion zlotys. Summing up our performance after three quarters, that's slide number 23, you can see here all the key lines and figures. I will not repeat it. Let me just highlight the effective tax rate. In nominal terms, the corporate income tax is 19%. But we have many lines in our P&L without a tax shield. So the effective tax rate is now as set. So summing up, I'm happy with business performance. We can see how active our clients are. Sometimes we can see even record high sales volumes. We have really good quality of our portfolio. We have a high number of transactions and the growing number of transactions made by our clients, mobile transactions and digital channels. So all of that bodes well. Experience, and that's a bit. We are really looking forward here to the results of rankings by Newsweek and Forbes to be announced today. So we are always curious how we benchmark against other. Vision and Agnieszka, over to you to the questions and answer session.
We've got the questions ready. Thanks, Agnieszka. I try to group the questions. So let's start from the question. It refers to the Polish government recently proposing changes to the bank's corporate income tax. What is your current estimated impact from these changes on the bottom line? What do you think about it? Do you have any strategies you could implement to alleviate this impact? Well, let me take this question. In reference to what I've already said, banks are the biggest CIT payers. Every fourth PLN is paid by banks. Last year, out of 10 top payers, the 10 top payers included 6 banks, and the top 3 payers are banks only, including ourselves. So, in my opinion, banks significantly contribute to the state budget. It's slightly surprising to us to make this sector the only one to contribute more, the sector that is contributing most, really. So there are many opinions about it. Some lawyers say there is a significant constitutional concern. The additional CIT rate should not solely rely on one sector. We contribute to the defense and military expenses. Maybe we'll have a separate conference about it, but also other social initiatives, education. We pay our taxes in Poland. We don't do any optimization abroad. We pay taxes here. So it should be stressed out that we share our profit with the state and with the Polish investors, including the pension funds. Let me remind you that over 23% of bank shares are held by OFE. That's over 40 million future retirees. And if you look at the stock data, that means return on assets or yields. The banking sector is not the most profitable. The Association of Polish Banks did the research on that. There are 12 more profitable industries compared to the banking sector. Our sector ranks only 13th in terms of profitability, and yet we already pay the highest taxes in the country. So, something very important that the nominal tax rate versus the effective tax rate, there is a difference. We pay more in terms of the effective rate. The nominal rate is 19%. So that would be an increase of 60%. Easy math. What impact this would have on our P&L. That's the comment I have when it comes to CIT. Okay, thanks very much. We have a few questions regarding net interest income and the volume. What is your current outlook on interest rate 2025 and 2026? What is the sensitivity to rate cuts? Well, we assume it will go down to 4% beginning of 2026, so there will be two cuts of 25 basis points. We don't quote cuts in November, but if it is cut, then of course, well, we forecast it will go to 4% in total. The market prices it in deeper, but we assume two cuts in total. Sensitivity, no major changes. I said the same thing last quarter. Without SCB, 257 sensitivity. If we have a cut of 100 basis points in a 12-month horizon. We present it on slide 20. You can look at our NII. Rates went down 100 percentage points and our income is higher. So a bigger size of balance sheet neutralizes those effects. And we are nearing the easing, the end of the easing cycle. What else?
Expectations with regards to the growth in loans. We are optimistic, as our CEO said. We are growing retail mortgages. We expect the trends to continue also in the business segment. And the growth in the business segment was 9%. So we think that in 2026, we will see growth in investments and the growth in loans. The businesses will be solid. And there's also a question and in English, when do we expect decap for large volumes? Well, we started the pickup in 2024, so we are not complaining about the lack of growth. In quarter three, we can see the effect. But this is a one-off seasonal development. Sometimes we have things coming into the portfolio and getting out, especially in CAB. But for CAB, all other segments show solid growth. That's about referring to this section of questions. In referring to cost, there are two questions, a general one and a detailed one. Wojtek, the outlook for the growth in cost in 2026. Just to remind you, and by way of a disclaimer, our bank does not publish official forecasts. We can just treat it as some guidance. And as we followed the strict cost discipline, and nothing changes here. We know how to keep it in place. When it comes to our fixed cost overhead, we can say that if we take a look at the inflation outlook for the next year, that will be the indicator of the growth, the band of changes. But we shouldn't forget that there will be costs related to the change of the owner, but we are not ready yet to give any precise figures. But I think that our next meeting, we will be able to tell you more. But that will be a separate category of costs for us because there will be non-recurring. Looking at the detailed question, let's read it out. What part of cost represented the cost of IT employees? But that depends how you define it, IT people. I tried to take a look at that. And people who deal with technology in the common understanding, who work in the unit, called the digital transformation division, but there are also people supporting operations in the bank, and we wouldn't treat that as IT. That's roughly 15% of our staff costs. But at the same time, we should remember about two things. People with IT skills work not only in this division, but also in others. So we are not capturing that so that we could give you a detailed analysis. But the other thing is also that the bank supports itself when we need short-term or specialist support by contractors, IT specialists. When spending on this type of technological solutions is that then software development is capitalized and then it's amortized properly. So it's the impact on costs. So of those costs are quite wide ranging, but roughly we can say 15%. These are the people who work in the IT division. Thank you, Wojtek. And the section about foreign currency mortgages. But we can actually boil down the answer to the to answering future risks and the expectations of provisions. Well, once again, Michał Gajewski, let me answer that. First of all, we believe that our provisions are adequate. The coverage ratio is 154% on average. We are reviewing parameters in our models, and we will have such a review in quarter four. All the time, we keep supporting the settlements program. At the end of September, we signed more than 5,000 settlements because we think that this solution is the best for clients and for us as the bank. And that will be my comment to it. Cost of credit risk. What do you think will be the normalized cost? Well, I don't know what you mean in terms of normalized, in what horizon, but to give you some guidance for the future, we do not expect major changes here, either in the profile or cost of risk. And that's been mentioned in the presentations. And in the months to come, it should stabilize. You might remember that in our strategy, we had KPIs and the cost of credit risk across the cycle was from 70 to 90 bps. And that was given for consolidated data with SCB. And on slide 24, as I said, the last quarter, the difference was in the order of 10, 15 bps. So you should really adjust that band by this. But at the moment, we are at this point of the cycle with such macro outlook now and for the next year that we cannot see any dangerous signals. So when it comes to credit risk, we are optimistic and we expect stabilization. There are a few detailed questions about deposits, hedges, and NII. Let me start with a few questions referring to a decline in current deposits, but 4% in retail. What is the reason, the outflow? Is there any impact on that triggered by the owner's change? But when it comes to the decline in current deposits, our CEO mentioned that. And it's stated directly in the presentation and in our report. And you have the figures there. Current deposits in Poland include savings accounts. And the decline in current deposits in quarter three was driven by the decline in balances in savings accounts. Because in quarter two, we have special offers. When it comes to the current accounts, just for daily banking, we can see positive trends there. So this was a one-off driven by savings accounts. And the explanation of that is in the presentation and the report, corporate deposits, they increased. And there is a question about it. While interest expense declined at the same time on those deposits, how does it happen? The deposits are growing because the good relationships we have with our clients and the interest expense declines because interest rates are cut, because the beta, that is the percentage to the extent of percentage we reflect the interest rate cuts. So we reflect this interest rate cuts in repricing our term deposits. So that's several percent. So that's better. And that is the reason for the decline in our interest expense on deposits. And moving on to the next question about strategy. We will continue the strategy for term deposits, while for current deposits, including savings accounts, we assume they will be growing. So our deposit strategy remains unchanged. There's one more detailed question about hedges. Was there anything exceptional happening in quarter three? Not really. And I think, maybe as I do not understand that question, so if you have any doubts, please contact Agnieszka Dłużycka and we will get that clarified. But our strategy assumes that at this point, some hedging positions for swapping the floating to fixed rates, and we are renewing them and rolling at lower rates. But otherwise, our strategy remains unchanged, and each quarter, the share of fixed rate loans and total loans keeps growing, which is the effect on the one hand of our hedging strategy, and on the other hand, this is the follow-up of the percentage of loans represented by fixed rate loans in the total sales. So we haven't changed our approach.
More questions? I think we've got three left. Will there be a wider marketing campaign in the fourth quarter to support the loan volumes? No, the volumes are going up. They're beating the market. So I don't think we need any action to boost production. All right. Now, legal risks linked to unauthorized transactions. There is a similar question, whether the bank will take action to verify whether the potential change in terms of the CIT rate is not in breach of the Constitution. Well, here we're talking to the Association of Polish Banks about it. That's the forum where we discuss it. No decisions have been taken yet in that respect. Unauthorized transaction. Maybe let's take that separately. We don't have provisions in the third quarter for lawsuits, potential lawsuits in that respect. Nothing like this happened. We don't have any development in that respect to change our perspective regarding the legal risk versus the previous quarter. That's the end of the question. Lower credit fees. What was it driven by? The line includes the brokerage cost. We have a higher retail lending book, and it is stimulated also by a network of brokers, and those costs of course encumber that line in our financials, hence generating the drop Any other questions, Agnieszka? Now we've exhausted the list. If you have any questions after this call, of course, we'll be happy to take them and send them to my office. Thank you very much. Goodbye.